Hi. Welcome to the Edge Up Radio Experiment. Today, the theme... Our theme today is OPB, Other People's Blogs. I'm gonna read from other people's blogs today. And, yeah. It's gonna be fun. Okay, let's get started.
The first blog we are going to hear of is from myspace.com. It is Prince Teddy Bear. He says he is from the Peppermint Forest in Candyland. And he says, I am a real prince. I wear a crown of hugs. Let's see what he has to say in three of his entries, randomly chosen by the entry chosen randomator. Here we go!
Number one.
Gosh, everything in outer space is always moving. The sun is moving along the Milky Way galaxy and taking all the planets with it. So we're all space travelers. And even whole galaxies are moving too. Sometimes when two galaxies bump into each other, the bigger galaxy eats the smaller galaxy. The Alpha Centauri galaxy is going to eat the Milky Way galaxy in 20 billion years. Who can blame Alpha Centauri? I mean, the Milky Way galaxy does sound yummy, just like a milkshake. But Princess Cuteness and me think that eating the Milky Way galaxy would be kind of a mistake, because that's not cool. So we baked a cupcake and sent it to Alpha Centauri as a peace offering. Hopefully Alpha Centauri will eat the cupcake and not the Milky Way galaxy. Also, we sent Alpha Centauri an invitation to kiss the Milky Way galaxy if it wants to make friends. Please sign the petition for Alpha Centauri not to eat us.
www.thepetitionsite.com/takeaction/77708508087.
Thank you.
Number two.
Today, Liesl came over to visit. She was Einstein's daughter who mysteriously vanished. No one knows what happened to her, so I asked her. She said that Einstein's theory of relativity helped make time travel possible. And then Liesl, who was super smart and who knew how to read and practice mathematical formulas at only 5 months old, read Einstein's theory and discovered a wormhole. Since then, she's been traveling through space and time to find the answer to the only discovery worth discovering. Where to get the best hugs? Liesl said how she got dinosaur hugs and missing link hugs and cave person hugs and future virtual hugs and even sun hugs. In 5 billion years, the sun will become a red giant star and expand
very much
and reach Mars, but not before squishing Earth with lots of warm love. But after doing lots of research in the library, Liesl discovered that Mimas is the hug world's best-kept secret. She said that Prince's Cuteness and me,
Prince Teddy Bear,
will adopt lots of children and ponies, and that we'll become the premier place for hugs in the whole history of the world. And that's why she time-traveled to visit us. I felt so honored that I jumped into her lap and gave her a big hug. Then she asked for a piece of paper and wrote this mathematical formula that changed my life forever.
You plus me equals
hugs.
Number three.
Since Leica, our pet puppy, who also happens to be the first dog in space, hasn't been to the vet in over 40 years, we decided it was about time to take her. Unfortunately, after I looked in the yellow pages for outer space, I didn't see one entry for a veterinarian, so gosh darn it, I took a brush and decided to make Leica look just like new. After I was finished, Leica looked just like a dwarf star because her fur was shining so brightly. Next, Brownie the pony wanted to see the vet.
Namely me.
I brushed Brownie too, and it was sort of harder because ponies are much bigger than dogs. I felt so exhausted after, and I wanted to ask Prince's Cuteness for a kiss for extra energy. Instead, she also wanted her hair brushed. Well, I brushed it very much until all the color in her hair became so strong, just like a rainbow. And I followed it, hoping to find a pot of gold. And I was close, because her hair reached to her shoulders. So the rainbow reached to her shoulders, and so I fell asleep on them and felt very happy. When I woke up, I noticed my teddy bear mask was removed and that someone brushed my hair too. I asked Princess Cuteness about it and she admitted it was her. She said while I was sleeping, she was getting restless and it gave her something to do. Leica didn't recognize me at first, but I let her smell me and she recognized me and then licked my face. Then Princess Cuteness gave me my teddy bear mask, and I put it right on. I sent Sandra a telepathic message that she should be here. Sandra is the youngest Major League Baseball player, but her dream was always to become a hairstylist. Then Sandra telepathically hugged me and said that she'd build a rocket right to come visit right away. After the telepathic hug, I felt more hugs, so I asked Princess Cuteness for a hug, and she gave me a very big hug, almost as big as the Empire State Building, only bigger.
For our second blog that we're going to read, we have Savage Ediel. On Savage's profile, it does not say much, but he says his favorite movie is La Cérémonie, the favorite movie of all of the time. And his favorite music includes the Eurythmics and opera. Hawaga waga waga. Let's hear two entries from the Savage ATL.
Number one.
Are you cleaning impaired? Quite some time ago, I came to the realization that I am cleaning impaired. This should surprise no one who has been to my house. I just didn't write about it then. Although I thought about it. Perhaps I did. Who cares? First of all, I want to proudly declare that I am cleaning impaired. Not of my own personal self, because I like to take 2-hour baths, but of my general surroundings, particularly my house. I don't like cleaning my house. I'm not good at it, and I'm not going to do it anymore.
Darn it.
Things like dusting my walls and disassembling the stove after I cook a meal and putting all the pieces in the dishwasher never occur to me. The best I can do is go through a lot of trouble to install one of those stoves with the glass tops and then still not clean it. Some of this is made worse by Tristan, who shares the trait of loving clean clothes with my mother. They both like to change their clothes several times a day and then think their clothes need to go immediately into the laundry basket.
Nonsense.
Clothes are happiest on the floor. I think we should make this a movement, get it diagnosed, and get disability. And since Quentin Crisp has gone to the big leather bar in the sky, get Sally Struthers.
She isn't doing anything these days.
Or Tammy Faye to champion our cause. First, we need to have a movement, headed by, until we can get some celebrity to do it, me. 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 I am cordially inviting all of you who are cleaning impaired to contact me and rise up in favor of reading mystery novels in the bathtub instead of cleaning the bathtub, painting pictures to hang in front of the living room windows instead of cleaning them, and lying in the bed instead of making it. Let us join hands and overthrow the forces of Clorox. How do you tell if you are cleaning impaired or just lazy? Just lazy. Just lazy. Just lazy. Lazy people can see the dirt and clutter and just don't do anything about it. The problem with cleaning impaired people is that we can look at a mess and not see it at all. Look, we missed out.
Sniff, sniff.
On some crucial part of our childhood.
Sniff, sniff.
During which we were taught how to make a home look presentable. Right now, because of Tristan cleaning the house, it looks less like some giant hand took a cardboard box diorama and shook the hell out of it. But that's normally what it looks like. But we should get on to separating the sheep from the goats. Or the goats from the people. Or the goats from the horses. Or whatever it is. The goats have to go somewhere the hell else. Take this short quiz to see if you too are cleaning impaired. My house could currently appear in which of the following magazines? A. Gourmet. B, Better Homes and Gardens, C, This Old House, Before Renovation, or D, Dementia Today, in an article about squalor and mental health. I acquired my cleaning skills primarily from A, the maids, B, my mother, C, friends and acquaintances or magazines, or D, wild badgers. Dirt in my house is best measured in A, those purely theoretical subatomic particles physicists get lots and lots of money to study and the rest of us need to drink gin by the filter in order to see. B, dust that is promptly vacuumed. C, dust that is not so promptly vacuumed. Or D, geologic layers. Help with household chores comes from A, the maids, B, my partner, and the children occasionally, C, the children most of the time, and my partner occasionally, or D, I married someone specifically because they could clean my house, despite their complete incompetence in other fields. My belongings in my house are arranged, A, neatly in arrangements I have copyrighted so that decorating magazines may use them, B, neatly in rooms, C, in piles, or D, in drifts. When something breaks in my house, I, A,
nothing ever breaks. It's simply not allowed.
B, throw it away and buy a new one. C, try to fix it before throwing it away. Or D, put it in another room and try not to think about it while wishing the broken things fairy will come and repair it. When I clean the house, it takes me A, I don't know, I've never done it. B, a couple of hours every day. C, the better part of a Saturday morning. Or D, I don't know, I've never done it. Clothes in my house are most often found A, on me, B, arranged in closets by color, style, and season, C, in the closets, or D, where they have escaped the horror of being shut in the closet and are happy on the floor. Laundry in my house is done A, by the maids, B, according to a schedule, with baskets for different clothes and a regular rotation, C, when it's dirty, or D, all in hot water with plenty of bleach, regardless of color, and then put in big piles on beds. The things in my refrigerator can best be described as A, from the finest gourmet delicatessens, B, fresh and tasty, C, leftover takeaway, or D, green and furry. In my house, cleaning supplies are A, brought by the maids, B, located in each room and I know exactly what to use on which surfaces, C, located in appropriate places throughout the house, or D, several cans of Old Dutch cleanser because I saw it in Mommy Dearest and randomly apply it to all surfaces that stay still, roughly with the frequency of a solar eclipse. If I had to pack all of my belongings and move, it would take me A, a few weeks, B, a few days, C, about a month, D, however long the Mesozoic lasted. When I redecorate, I choose A, colors that reflect future designer trends, B, colors that reflect current designer trends, C, neutrals to allow the house to resell easily, or D, colors that don't show dirt. If I thought I could stand it, every room in the house would be black. If you answer D to most of the questions in this quiz, you are most definitely cleaning impaired.
Number two.
Readers, bring out the gin. Because this entire post is drinking game worthy, as it features Mr. Squirrel. Yesterday, I was having something of a discussion with Mr. Squirrel. I don't really feel like thinking hard enough to remember how it came up, but I asked him how was something or other, and he said, oh, it was all right.
You say that about everything,
I responded.
When do you experience things that are not all right?
Mr. Squirrel had to think about this.
Well, you know,
he said, sometimes.
Like what?
I insisted.
Give me an example.
Mr. Squirrel hemmed and hawed, but I was not to be put off.
No.
Finally, he remembered something.
That rat,
he said. He was referring to my mother's house being currently infested.
I really didn't like that. It was disgusting.
Oh, is that as strong as it gets?
I asked.
You really didn't like that?
Wow.
How does it feel to have an emotional range like this?
And I put my fingers close together to indicate a very small amount. Like a millimeter.
Well,
he said,
you have to be existentialist when things happen.
What do you mean, existentialist?
I asked. He didn't know. So he hemmed for a bit more. And then he said,
well, you have to be like Sartre or Camus.
You mean dead?
I asked.
No, he said. I mean, like, you know.
Like miserable and depressed.
No, he said. Like stoic and unaffected. When things happen to you, you should, like, not get all worked up and ponder them.
Oh,
I said.
And then what do you do after you ponder them?
That's it,
he said.
Huh. Well, I don't think I'm much like this. I think I should found a school of philosophy named Dunaway Crawfordism, in which one behaves just like Faye Dunaway portraying Joan Crawford in Mommy Dearest, and shriek loudly when one is displeased. I firmly believe in being in touch with my emotions, and also making sure other people are in touch with my emotions, and that there is never any doubt in anyone's mind about what I ever think and feel.
Oh, and I did a good thing yesterday. Imagine! I read online that Volvo has agreed to replace this electronic throttle system in some of its cars, and I emailed the story to Pamela, who had to have some of those bits replaced. She's getting $157 back. Yay for me!
Now we have another entry from the MySpace. This comes from a user whose name is Only an Eclipse of Onyx. She says in her profile, I don't have to be into any conformed religion or be like you or anyone else to like this lifestyle. I thrive on what connections or energy I feel. I am a nonconformist. I believe in life after death, spiritual guardians, supreme beings, ghosts, psychic powers, witchcraft. I don't believe in aliens, so don't go there. Apparently, she also does not believe in punctuation very much. But here is her blog entry about a night at the club.
I usually don't like regular gay bars. It's that the scene hasn't changed in years. No shirt wonders, pushing and shoving and sweating with no excuse, me hitting you with their arms while you're dancing on the dance floor. And then there are the wannabe transsexual diva monsters who look at you like,
who are you? This is my place.
I'm like,
okay, I'm walking the other way.
While dancing with a gay friend of mine who I've known over 10 years, we're dancing in front of the stage and didn't notice a transsexual on stage doing a show until the lights came on pretty bright. She was lip-singing to a song I've never heard before. Lyrics go, don't you wish your girlfriend was stank like me? Don't you wish your girlfriend was a tramp like me? Don't... Or was it freak like me? Or was it disgusting like me? Who knows? She started off in a suit with heels and ended up ripping it off, showing nothing but duct tape. Everyone's mouth dropped, including mine. There was no room for me to run and hide. I was forced in front of the stage because I was already there dancing. All the queens were looking at me like I was part of the show or friend. I just started bouncing to this horrendous song like I really liked it, pretending to have a good time so no one would suspect anything. She looked right down at me and I couldn't hide my emotions on my face. I tried pretending, oh, it's performance art, but she kept giving me this look like she was talking to me through the song. She was just doing her job, I know, but I really like it when girls do more creative costuming, when they do shows that leave the trashy naked crap for strippers who are actually getting paid for that. After a few looks into the audience, she walked off stage naked, leaving all her clothes on stage. I thought, is she going to call a cab like that? Then it was back to the extended version of Pots and Pans they were playing for the last 45 minutes, some song I had no idea was about or who sang it. It usually consists of a 400-pound black woman, or Jewish or white, who knows, screaming, don't let the love get you down, oh yeah, oh baby, don't let them down. Just like the rest of the gay songs, how creative, right? The friend who invited us put us on the guest list, and we got free drinks, so that was the only highlight of the night.
Here is another blog from the MySpace. This is from somebody who calls herself Lady Raptastic. She has a podcast on her page, and she says about herself, point blank, I rap, sing, and do my thing. People love me because I'm real, and keep it that way, because that's the only way I know how to keep it. Ladies, jealous of my stuff, I just say step. Here are three entries from Lady Raptastic's Outlook on Life.
Number one.
A story about hope and my purse. The lady is world savvy. She know how the world works, why it worked that way, and who you got to know to make it work for you. But it wasn't until I met a man named Donald that the world was opened up to me like a glass lighter held in the palm of Lindsay Lohan as her mother sit beside her smoking crack and ordering another Pepsi. Donald worked at the Burger King 2 blocks from my house. After work, I met him because sister and me hang out sometime to watch TV and get drunk from stolen wine from the store. She steals it and I drank it. My thievery days is through after going to jail and meeting Penny and that whole roach scenario. Oh, by the way, I had a dream last night. I was Mariah Carey's new husband, and we was having a barbecue in the backyard. She wasn't it outside in her outfit, so she come back in to change. I come with her and watch TV in my little man TV room. She come in with some stupid bandana ball gown on, and I make one remark about how it look, and she whimpers and turns around to go change. This happened 3 more times, and each outfit looked like it was made by a blind seamstress who grabbed fabric from a pile next to her, thrown out by Pick and Save, and cobbled together 80s prom dress after 80s prom dress. She look a mess. Okay, back to my story. I met Donald for the first time, and it was like high beam stare contest. I could not take my eyes off him while we walk, and he could not stop staring at his phone, texting someone. What is it with these text people? I am sorry, but if I want to communicate with someone, I sure as dang sure am not going to type. I am going to speak. It's quicker. So I am walking with his sister and Donald, and we meet up with his friend Kenyatti. I know Kenyatti from middle school, but we do not speak. I look at Donald the whole time, his brown cocoa skin and curly black hair, just the way he looketh his patron Kenyatti, with that gentle Latin stare. Then a bus pull up to the corner I am standing at with them. I just happen to be where the people step off. A man falls down the bus steps and on top of me. He stank of wine and magazines, and I am struggling to throw him off of me. But he is asleep. He is asleep and walking on top of me. I struggle to push him off, but he keeps saying,
"Good morning, would you like sausage with that?"
And I am unable to breathe good. My friend came over and asked the man to get off me. She finally pushed him off. My hat got smudged and the whole bus was watching me. I was embarrassed. The bus driver asked me if I was okay. "Yes, no thanks to you. Now get back on the road and make your $8 an hour." He got mad, put the bus in park, and stepped off the bus. I start to run, but there's nowhere to go. The hardware store behind me is closed up. The park is pitch black and the alleyway is scary. He come up at me and yell at me about how lucky he is to have this job because he is retarded and his wife is pregnant and he is doing the best he can and a sister do not need to be calling a brother out like that. I said my apologies but told him just cause he retarded do not mean he has to drive a bus. He could make clothes for Mariah Carey. He did not like this and snatched my purse. The bus driver snatched my purse. For some reason, when I am purse-snatched, I get the speed of a bike and the strength of a weight bench. I chase him back to the bus, but he closed the door on my hand and pull away. I am now walking with my hand stuck in the door. Then I am running because he gains bus full speed.
Then I am dragging because he is now on a highway with me still attached and my purse in his retarded lap.
Long story short, a cop pulled him over and arrested him. I told the cop I was a bus driver and would drive the people to safety, when in reality I drove them around the corner, made them each give me $10 to get back home, then drove the bus into a river, I will not name which one, and walked home, counting my dollars. And that night the world was opened up to me, like I said before. It don't matter who you are, where you come from, or how poor, retarded, or whatever you are. The world has opportunities for you. All you got to do is be ready to grab them. Believe in your dreams. Take hold of your dreams and never talk to Kenyatti. He tell lies and his breath smell like, well, it smells.
Number two.
I borrowed a paper cutter from my neighbor and Rita to cut up some invitations for a party I am giving for a friend. I shall not name the name of the friend because they might read this blog. They do read this blog. Anyways, I am throwing him or her a congratulatory party for passing a very hard test they was studying for 2 years for. He or she went through heck and back, and I am rewarding her with a nice party with food, drinks, a live mariachi band, and a light-up dance floor I am having brought in from my friend Zazzy's party rental shop. The thing is, I was cutting up the invitations, and I cut a piece of my ear off. I was getting real close to the board with my face, and the phone rang. I swear, at the same time, it felt like a rattlesnake was up on my back, so I turned around quickly. The vase of flowers got knocked over, which made the blade come down right onto my ear. Ear. It's not the whole ear, just the dangly part you stick earrings in. I went to the doctor, and he said he could not repair the damage. I said, "Who?" He said it was unfixable. I threw the ear at him and ran out. I went back in and picked up the ear and went to another doctor who fixed it. I went back to the other doctor and showed him. He could not believe it. I said,
"Believe it, ho. You, a quack."
I walked up to the front desk and told them the whole story. They fired him on the spot and bought me dinner and made me sign some piece of paper they said would save my life. I signed it quickly.
People cannot mess with Lady Rat-tastic. Number three.
Yesterday, I was in a McDonald's eating a bag of pork rinds I had brought in under the cover of my tube top. Before I sat down and revealed my secret to the man sitting across from me, my friend Carlos, we went to the counter and ordered two drinks. I asked for a clean drink with no spillage on top.
Clean drink with no spillage on top?
They handed me a drink with drink spillage on top and a thumbprint on the side.
I asked them to make me anew, and the girl said no. Her name was LaDonda Faye, and I know her from this other McDonald's she used to work at. We have had words before. I said to her, LaDonda Faye, I am not trying to be difficult. I asked you to make a clean drink with no drink spillage. You did not provide that. Please,
make it again.
Ma'am. LaDonda Faye looked at me like she gonna pull a boot off and swing it at a baby doe. I look at her and said, you gonna make my drink? Huh? And with that, she proceeded to take a white rag from beneath the counter and wipe the entire cup and top down and drop the rag onto the counter. She slowly shoved the cup at me from across the counter with one of her long magenta nails. The cute ones with the peacock-shaped diamonds in them. I know karate. I did a swivel spin kick, knocked the drink off the counter and onto the back wall, where it slowly floated back down to the ground. She looked at me and Carlos like I was a magician. Well, I am. I ain't never told nobody this before, but this hoe is a ninja. LaDonda Faye quickly made me a new drink, this time a large one, and smiled at me as I grabbed it with my left hand and gave her face the slap with the right one. The pork rinds was good.
You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WXHD. Wait, I wasn't supposed to do that yet.
Our next entry is a very special entry for MySpace. It comes from someone who calls herself Jenny, who has mastered a particularly interesting form of writing, in which she drops a lot of hints about important things she's going through, but in the end, never actually says anything. On her profile, she states that her superhero name is the Vector Guardsman, her superpower is mathematics, her weapon is her radiation army, and her mode of transportation is clown car. Let's hear her entry now.
Do you ever wonder why certain things happen to you? Why certain things happen to you? I mean, some things help you grow and learn, and others are just there to peeve you. Stupid people, bad drivers, telephone solicitors, just there to anger you. having to deal with a bad situation and make the best of the little things. These are supposed to help you learn and grow. But who decides this? But who decides this? But who decides this? Are you not supposed to be in charge of your own destiny? Who decides?
Well, today's the day we are going to turn your life into dough.
Well, I have come to the conclusion that it's not how it starts, but what you do about it and where you're at come the end of the day. That is my philosophy.
For the moment.
So at the end of the day today, I am feeling a much better person, and through it all, my house is clean. Because when I get mad or upset at something, I clean. So at least the house feels better. Me? I am so tired from cleaning. I've lost my thought pattern, and let it all go. So see? It's all good. Even better when I hit the pillow.
ポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポンポ
パジャマパジャママジャマジャイパイパ漏れない吸っても舐めない吐いても書いてもいかないいないいないいらないてもやんたますもも。テモヤンテモヤンテモヤンテモヤンテモカラリンパーテモテモカラリンテモスガラ
山陽です
ってところですね。
山陽です
ってところですね。
山陽です
ってところですね。
Our next entry comes from LiveJournal, and it comes from a user who calls himself Yabba Dabba Dude. In his journal, he tells us that the classic movie he is Sunset Boulevard, the famous leader he is Mother Teresa, and the flavor that he is tea. Let's listen to two entries by Yabba Dabba Dude now.
Number one.
I watched Walt Disney on the Front Lines, a collection of animated shorts slash propaganda films done by Walt Disney during World War II yesterday. There are like five or six posts I could write about the whole thing, but for some reason none of them seem as interesting now as when I wrote them down. So here's a collection of half posts about the series. The Disney shorts are generically unfunny. I mean, we all think of Walt as this wildly creative, innovative guy, and that everything he touched was golden, but a lot of these shorts weren't very entertaining. I'm sure there's something to be said about the evolution in animation, and how 2D animation can't hold a candle to the computer-assisted animation, but a lot of these were still pretty repetitive and repetitive and repetitive and repetitive and didactic. In one of the shorts, they were trying to encourage the purchase of war bonds. A cartoon devil came and tried to convince Donald to spend for himself, keep spending like nothing was happening, while an angel came and encouraged him to scrape, save, and invest in war bonds. The W parallels came to mind, but as people have stated in the comments, my political posts leave much to be desired. Speaking of Donald Duck, he makes a pretty good traitor. In the shorts, he sends generals to prison, interferes with factory workers, falls asleep while on guard, ruins the food supply, wastes ammunition, tries to con his way out of paying taxes, and dreams he lives in Nazi Germany. You could never have something similar to this today. I mean, Pixar wouldn't touch the Iraq conflict with a 10-foot pole. Then again, I read somewhere that The Incredibles is an Ayn Randian parable, which ruined the movie for me, by the way. So maybe they'd do something covert about the war, but nothing like throwing pies in Saddam's face or anything. It was odd to see childhood icons doing such blatant propaganda. I mean, it's weird. Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck are such staples of Americana, and yet there they were, blasting political rhetoric for the masses. Conservatives have been talking about the liberal propaganda in children's shows for years. Bert and Ernie are gay, Tinky Winky is gay, Sesame Street is pro-Israeli, etc. But this was definite war praising and Nazi bashing. I mean, sure, it was a different time and all, but it was still weird. There was a short called Education for Death, The Making of a Nazi, which proves that the only thing more disturbing than a five-year-old boy crying Sieg Heil is an animated five-year-old boy yelling Sieg Heil. And to top it all off, the last animated short came with a parental advisory. Apparently, mixing the story of Chicken Little with Nazi propaganda may not be suitable for young children. Who knew? And there you have it. Seven posts I would have written about the DVD I saw yesterday, except that I didn't want to write that much about them.
Number two.
I had such a scary 50 minutes. The professor walks into class timed exactly as the bell was ringing. At first I was impressed at how well-timed his entrances were, until once before break I found out that he waits in a side hallway until 1 minute before the bell was to ring. He holds a large pile of papers in his left hand, the 6-to-8-page paper on comedic drama which we turned in like a million years ago.
I have good news and I have bad news.
That's never a good thing to hear when discussing midterms.
The bad news is that 8 students will open their papers and find an F, and will likely find an F for their semester grades as well. Those unfortunate souls were all caught plagiarizing. One particularly daft student even plagiarized from an article I recently wrote on Bane's reliance on Hobbesian values in The Rover. The good news is that I'm only allowed to give out so many Fs per semester, and these 8 students have put me at my quota. The rest of you have a pretty poor likelihood of failing this class. I'm willing to bet that more of you have plagiarized, but I don't have the patience to be typing snippets into Google and Amazon and whatever else.
I gulped, and probably looked really guilty. My emotions are about as prominent on my sleeve as a big Calvin Klein logo on those t-shirts that were popular in the 90s. There's only about 45 people in the class, so 8 is a huge percentage. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not like I went to cheatnotes.com or anything that actually qualifies as plagiarism. Well, maybe. See, sometimes if I'm having problems on a paper, and I had had problems on the inherent meta-theatricality of Johnson, I'll go online and steal a topic sentence and write the paper. I type the stolen sentence in capital letters so I can remember to delete it and replace it with something else. Once or twice I've forgotten to do that, and my teachers left question marks in the margins. I was hoping I didn't do that again. I've never been more pleased with a C+ in my life. Then again, I've never seen a C+ in my life, so it's a new feeling. I'm not pleased enough to get used to it.
Why would a show about the blogs be without an entry from a famous celebrity's blog? For our celebrity entry of the night, we go to the blog of comedian Margaret Cho. Let's listen to her blog entry about the food poisoning now.
I don't like the 4th of July much. I hate fireworks, sand, sunscreen, bugs, alcoholic beverages, and obligatory partying. I do like the idea of the day, but I have baggage. It has to do with barbecue. There is a problem I have with the whole nature of the particular phylum of food. I had a terrible experience with the barbecue dish one night in Kansas City in the middle of a tour. I knew little of the cuisine of this part of the country, but I trusted the local opinion. We were told this was the best barbecue in the Midwest. It looked beautiful. Big broiled ribs sauced with sensual abandon. A wild freedom of hand-on-bottle beef in sauce. The inviting slab of meat was tenderly covered with 2 slices of white bread, like a little roof of carbohydrates on the powerhouse of proteins and fat. The box actually sizzled when I held it in my hands, but it was the middle of the night and I was too sleepy to eat, so I left the beautiful box of meat with its scintillating smells and sweet barbecue promise out on the formica counter in my kitchenette. I couldn't bear to refrigerate it. I could only lay it gently onto the cool surface. It was with great anticipation that I left it for the morning. When I woke, the entire room smelled great. Like a burnt, smoky caramel piece of heaven, no longer sizzling alive with fire, now a dormant volcano of hardened sauce like glistening lava cooling in the morning air. The white bread was still pristine and soft, fresh but somehow infused with the heady scent of barbecue. I relished my cold breakfast of ribs and ate the entire box. I felt rustic, like a woodcutter, like it was cold enough to see my breath. The air was like pure maple syrup, and it felt like I had taken hollow tubes and plunged them into trees and left buckets to hang and catch the sap as I sat to wait to fill my pails in the sugar shack, enjoying the silence of the early dawn, sucking the meat off the bones of last night's dinner. But as I emerged from the sugar shack/motel room, I knew there was something wrong.
That barbecue taste clung to my mouth, and if it was pleasant at first, it rapidly became extremely unpleasant. This was my first warning that something was terribly amiss. I had made a bad mistake. I paid for that mistake multiple times over for the next several days. It was the kind of food poisoning that inconveniences everyone around you, friends, strangers, countrymen, causes incredible delays and setbacks, unaffordable during the time crunch of a tour. This is the botulism that keeps on giving. I will have barbecue baggage forever. It is a curse, as it was one of my favorite things to eat, especially the kind that you get in South Carolina, the mustard-based Q. I feel I have lost a friend, not through a natural event like moving or even death, but betrayal. I have been betrayed by barbecue. I have baggage that is heavy, that I will not ever let go of. This barbecue baggage has become a part of me, and I do not know where I stop and it begins.
Thanks for, thanks for listening to the Ed Shep Radio Experiment. Come back next week and, beep. You're listening to WFMU East Orange, WXHD Mount Hope, and WFMU.org. I did it. Cool. Yeah.